transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
And I want you to hear how Jesus Christ contrasted the oppression of the law with grace. Remember, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus speaks, grace is speaking. When Jesus makes a declaration, grace is making a declaration. I want you to listen to what Jesus said, showing the difference between the law of Moses and the law of grace. I want you to follow that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 24. I've already alluded to it in my earlier messages, but I want to read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to 24, and then we'll look at verse 27 and 28. But if you want to really get it, read the whole Sermon on the Mount, because you will hear grace and how it functions. Now, from verse 17, Matthew chapter 5, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." I explained that last week. Verse 19, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, verse 20, "For I say to you," this is grace speaking, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." How does that happen? How can our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? Verse 21, he's telling us how it is done. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." Now, where is that written? Where is that written? In the law. So Jesus is saying, this is what the law said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, who is Jesus? Grace, grace, grace. So now he teaches us the law. He's now telling us how grace functions. "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment." The law says, don't murder. Jesus says, don't be angry. "And whoever says to his brother, raka, or useless, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Now, this is grace. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." Grace. Then verse 27. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery." Where is that written? In the law. In the law. This is the law. "But I say to you," grace, "that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Grace. So, Jesus takes the law out of the way. He replaces it with grace. But grace is not a license to live anyhow. Grace also has its own rules. And what we learn is that grace has a higher standard of righteousness. Grace has a higher standard of righteousness. It exceeds the righteousness of the law of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's what Jesus said. When we are under grace, God doesn't lower the standard for us. He actually takes it higher. Grace has a higher standard of righteousness. Why is the standard of grace higher? Because the law judges only physical actions. The law judges only physical actions. The law recognizes sin when it is physically committed. It judges your actions. You do it, the law says it's wrong. Grace doesn't judge physical actions. Grace judges inward intentions. And if you look at the two examples here, murder and adultery, the law says don't commit murder. Grace says don't be angry without a cause. Don't insult people with harsh words. Because how do people start? How does murder come? Murder comes with anger. I mean, you don't be happy with somebody. You're just happy. Oh, this is the greatest day. We're having a good time. Boom, cut off his head. Is that how it happens? No. You don't commit murder when you are at peace with somebody. You commit murder because you are angry. The law says don't commit murder, but the law doesn't deal with the root cause of murder, anger. Jesus says, under grace, I'm not looking for you at the end. I want to deal with it from the root cause. Grace says, I'm going to deal with the anger. The law says, don't commit adultery. Grace says, if you check, you're looking. The adultery will take care of itself. So what is the law doing? The law is saying, don't do something. Grace says, this is why it happens. And if you discipline yourself at this level, that will not happen. So Jesus Christ takes the law out of the way. He nails it to the cross. God is not going to say, oh, I now judge you because you committed adultery and you did all of that. God is saying, no, that's not how I'm dealing with you. My grace is sufficient for you. I give you the ability to live righteously. And when I give you that ability, use that ability to start checking your motives and your intentions. Because if you do that, then your righteousness will exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Grace calls us to a higher level of righteousness. That's why sometimes I wonder when people, talk about grace as if when you are living under grace, the standards are lower. Sometimes you hear Christians talk and they say, well, you know, I've heard sometimes pastors who are living in sin, committing adultery, and supposedly being used by God, and people say it's grace. Whose grace? It's not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. So if the man is not disciplining himself, there is no grace. He's not living in grace. He's condemning himself in sin. Grace gives us power over sin. Grace gives us power over sin. All right. So when we desire grace, or when we receive grace, grace comes and instructs us on how to live our lives. And Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14 tells us a few things about what grace will teach us. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many people?
All.
God's grace is to all people. God's grace reaches to everybody. And when it appears to all men, what does it do? Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Three things that grace teaches us. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It does not give us an excuse to live by our own lust. Grace teaches us to resist ungodly behavior. Teaches us how to deny that. In other words, when we receive grace, we receive the ability to deny ungodliness in our lives. God makes us righteous. He puts his spirit in us. Christ comes to live in us, not so that we can continue to sin, but so that we can deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. The Church of Jesus Christ is a holy people, a peculiar people. Jesus died not so that we continue in sin, but he died that we may be free, and be free indeed. Our salvation was bought at a great price. It cost the blood of Jesus. Let us not cheapen the grace of God. Let us not cheapen the grace of God. Because sometimes I hear people preach on grace, and it's cheap grace. Cheap grace. There are those who teach that once you become a believer, every sin you sin is with your body, not with your spirit. And you don't sin. Except you are not reading the New Testament properly. Except we're not reading from Jesus, who is the author of grace. Jesus Christ himself. And you read the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, he will tell you, the law says, don't swear by heaven or so and so and so forth. But I say to you, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And anything extra is a sin. That's what Jesus said. What Jesus is saying is, if you don't believe your own words and you have to touch your finger to your tongue and point to the heaven, then it means that you yourself don't trust yourself. Grace wants us to get to the point where when we say yes, our yes is reliable. When we say no, our no is reliable. When we say I would do it, I do it. If you say I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't do it. That's what grace helps us to do. Enables us to live for God the way he wants us to live for him. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Number two, grace teaches us to live soberly and righteously in this age. Grace does not teach us to live anyhow. Grace does not teach us to live carelessly. Grace does not teach us to sin. Grace teaches us to be sober and thoughtful about our actions. When a person is living by grace, they live soberly and righteously in this age. It is an age of sin, my friends. Sin is abounding. There is sin walking everywhere. There is sin everywhere. There is more opportunity to sin now than ever in human history. We used to have to hide to sin. Now sin finds you on your cell phone. In this present age, Christians are confronted with great temptation, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the conversations we hear around us, the discussions, the language people use, the words they use, their actions, the things they encourage. In your office, what you hear being discussed, what you see being done. Unfortunately, even in the church, so that people you think should be an example are no longer an example. And the Christians are confused. How do we live? The Bible says grace teaches us. The grace of God teaches us to live soberly and righteously in this age. Is it possible to live soberly and righteously in this age? Yes, through the grace of God. Is it possible for young men to keep themselves pure? Yes, through the grace of God. Is it possible for young boys and girls and young men and women who are not married to be virgins? Yes, through the grace of God. Will they be tempted? Yes, but grace will teach them to live soberly. Grace teaches us. And don't let anybody tell you, young people, that everybody does it. No, everybody doesn't do it. You are doing it, but not everybody is doing it. Don't go around and say, well, this is how the world is. Yes, this is how the world is, but we have been redeemed from this world. We are children of God. We have the Spirit of God in us. His grace is sufficient for us. So in the midst of sin, we can be holy. We can be holy.